Netanyahu goes, I don't know why we're losing the propaganda war. Everybody's turned against us. You know, worldwide, we're the most unpopular country in the world. I guess it's social media. No, it's your actions. It's look in the mirror.
Actions.
Take responsibility.
Well, it's that thing they always attribute it to, like Einstein's definition of insanity. You know, it's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. The Israeli push to change the messaging campaign. Yes, part of it is what they're doing. And then the second is the way that they're telling people. It's like, if you don't agree with us, then you're bad, you're evil, you're wrong, you're immoral. You know, you can't be allowed in public society or polite society. And it's the exact opposite. If you taboo something, especially to Americans, we are such a contrarian culture. If you taboo
absolute
something, we want
effect.
It
That's
more.
What I'm saying. When I watch the World Jewish Conference and all these people, they're doing exactly what I would do if I wanted to turn everybody against me.
100%. I had this conversation with a reporter last night, and we were discussing this issue specifically without like any specifics of it. You can look and say, if you were going to do the worst thing possible and draw the most attention, you would keep doing what you're doing. You demonize people that said something otherwise. My example was this, because Alex, imagine this. Imagine if Israel actually wanted to not have the problems in PR that they currently have. I look at a group like the Mormons. Okay, the Mormons, nobody's psyched when the Mormons knock on your door. If you're not Mormon and they knock on your door, you're like, oh God, there's like two guys in white shirts with a little name tag and a black tie, and they got bicycles and they're outside my door and I want to be doing anything except talking to them. You open the door up, you talk to them. They're super nice people. They made an entire musical lampooning their religion, like their most sincerely held beliefs, and it was called The Book of Mormon. It was a musical and it was in New York and it was a bunch of libs that were making
and
fun of these people.
And it backfired and got the Mormons more support than ever.
What did they do, though? They didn't say, like, how dare you? You can't criticize us. This is like, you know, that is a hate speech. You guys are doing awful, evil things. No, they took out a full page ad in the Book of Mormon playbook for the musical and said, hey, thanks so much for watching this comedy about us. If you'd like to learn more about the Book of Mormon, why don't you reach out at our websites and we'd love to talk to you. They took it magnanimously, with humility, with a little bit of comedy.
Well, that's another thing I see when Democrat and Republican politicians, particularly Democrats, get made fun of. They want to ban the AI. They want to ban an obvious comedy. They call something that's totally fake, obviously fake, to a five-year-old criminal. Hillary had a guy put in jail for that. It backfires. When I get made fun of, I love it. Not only do I just get it's funny, even if it's mean, like when somebody makes fun of you and you get mad about it, it makes it 10 times worse. Anybody knows that.
It's the simplest thing. Like, there are all kinds of crazy Alex Jones remixes and memes and songs. And half the time when I see them, I want to send them to you because I know you'll laugh, because all it does is it says you're worth discussing. The things you say are interesting. They stick with people, you know, that they have some sort of impact. And for people to get mad about it, the things that are really gross are the lies. I mean, I see those. I've got we've got Jamie Raskin out there right now talking about it's unfair that the Trump administration is corruptly paying off people that the last administration, you know, maligned. And when you see that stuff and they start saying objectively false things about you, I still don't think they should be banned. Like, I don't think that I'm currently a party to a lawsuit where somebody is suing me over something I said. And people say false things about me all the time. I know they say false things about you. I read them. I know them to be false. And I just go, why would we ban them? All I would do is call more attention to this
thing. Well, especially when you're a public figure. So shifting gears into this, just in general, I'm going to get into a bunch of topics here. I saw your prediction. I think it's very safe to say, I think they lose the House and Senate currently. But then Trump's talking about declaring a national emergency to stop mail-in ballots. And the rest of it, I think the Democrats are still going to run their play of dead people voting and stuff. And I think it'll put it all into question even more and look like he's manipulating the election, even though I've talked to the lawyers, I've studied it. Some of the emergencies he's talking about declaring, I think, are constitutional. But at the same time, the optics of it. But now he's talking about an economic emergency. What do you think of that talk?
I think that it missed defeat, does it not? I mean, the whole point, like one of his 20 core promises, it was a number 19 on of the 20, was that they were going to make elections secure. That was a priority for the RNC, which means the people who ran for office under that banner, under the GOP, they said they were going to do this. And they just are basically, if you have to do it through executive order, you're admitting that you don't actually have power to do the things you said you would do. That is a loss, number one. And then the second piece of it is 17 years ago, I lived in California before I enlisted in the military. All right. I lived in Los Angeles County. I lived in Burbank and I moved out in June of 2009. And I, went to the Air Force and lived in Texas and I never moved back to California ever again. I'm still registered to vote in California. I've been registered in Virginia. I've been registered in Texas more than once, a couple times. I've been registered in New Mexico. I'm still registered in California 17 years later, and I can't get my name off the voter rolls. So they didn't fix these things. These are done state to state, and the states don't want to fix them because they love having the opportunity. I get an email every single time that there's an election in California, despite having sent emails in, sending letters in. I tried to go to their website to unenroll. You can sign up from your cell phone if you're a homeless person and you give them the street corners where you live at, or you like sleep on the ground, you can get a ballot. But if you tell them the same way, hey, I haven't lived there in 17 years and I'm supposed to drop off the rolls after three presidential cycles that I haven't voted, I'm still on the rolls there. So they haven't fixed the problem. And if you have to go to emergency executive orders and potentially like semi-martial law type declarations, you've basically admitted that I'm unable to do the thing, which is legislate the solution. Article 1 is supposed to be the ones that fix some of these problems, including stuff like the border. We can't lock in a single thing. So I think that's an admission that you failed, which is Trump. I mean, I think it's where we're going to end up. I do think that we end up losing those House and Senate. And I think that it's going to be earned, unfortunately. I think Americans who were independent, who did not say I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat, they said I'm interested in the best ideas for this country. And if you have them, then I'm for you. Donald Trump had them in 2024, no doubt. Between the
what
two
do you
of them,
think
he
changed
was objectively
about 6
better.
Months in the administration. You were on the show saying he's about to take a really bad turn. That was all the intel you were getting. What do you think was behind that? I want to shift gears on all these other topics that tie into it. And is Trump not thinking about what the Democrats are going to do once they get control of the House and Senate? I mean, it's going to be a political bloodbath.
Yeah, it's the end. It's like it's the worst. It's the end of his, you get basically politics is really, it's really goofy. It's quarter by quarter, right? On a 4-year presidency.
He'll have no power. He'll be a lame duck.
You've got to be triumphant in your first year to be able to get a strong enough run up into the second so you can get a second half. Otherwise, you get mercy ruled and you basically lose. And so he's running into that. What happened 6 months in was obvious to me that the most dangerous thing, I mean, they needed to have massive deportations. Those numbers were not happening. And I think there were a lot of logistical concerns with that, but they didn't mobilize everything. You know, they didn't move heaven and earth to get people out of here. And that would have had to have been done. And then the second most dangerous thing was, how do you de-weaponize government? He never took control of the intelligence agencies. There are 17 agencies, and about 80% of the personnel that work in those intelligence agencies have very different ideas about what the country is supposed to do, and they're not interested in whether or not an elected official wants to change their mind. So Tulsi Gabbard has been wrangling quietly, to try to get these organizations under control.
Well, she's already given Trump all the proof of Crossfire Hurricane and the treason, and then he has Todd Blanche in there that blocks it all. So that's Trump's fault.
It's even worse than that, though, Alex, because a lot of the stuff that these people did, they're not actually illegal. That's the whole point. And I think this is something that is lost on most Americans. They go, oh, Obama was a traitor, or Brennan did this, or Clapper did this. And they have all these ideas. At the end of the day, those things they did, although they may have been unethical and they may have been immoral, they were not against the law. They were within the purview of those positions. So the answer is not, we need to get those positions and wield that power. The answer is, you need to strip these agencies from the capabilities that they have.
You just
and
said
no
the key.
One's interested in doing
you
that.
Just said the key. Let's come back and talk about that. The left's all mad that Trump's using executive orders now that are copies of others. They were all for executive power when they thought they controlled it. Exactly. The answer is to strip the power so no one can do it. Instead, that's Trump started figuring out a year ago, I'm not going to strip it. I'm just going to use it.
Exactly that.
And that's where we are. And now he's getting more and more with the taste of blood, the taste of political dictatorial power. He's getting wild-eyed. We'll come back and talk about what's about to happen next with Kyle Serafin. Stay with us. I am so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support, your word of mouth, your